Right, we are back in the book of Jude, finally advancing a verse, verse number 14. Jude verses 14 and 15. We'll read the two of those, though we'll spend our time tonight in verse number 14. Verse number 14 of the book of Jude, it tells us, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture as we spend just a few minutes looking at it tonight. We ask your Holy Spirit to help us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to look at the person of Enoch. We're introduced to him back in Genesis 5. We're going to be turning back there in just a moment. But well, let's turn back there now, Genesis chapter 5, as we think about this person of Enoch. The Bible doesn't tell us a great deal about this man, but what it tells us is pretty amazing. Verse number 21 through 24. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now here's the verse that we generally are most familiar with concerning Enoch. Verse number 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And so here's what we know about Enoch. He's the seventh from Adam. If we would go back to the beginning of the verse, we can see the genealogy that begins, of course, with Adam. And then seven people later, you have Enoch being born. And so he's the seventh from Adam. And the Bible tells us there in verse number 24 that Enoch walked with God. He's one of two that the Bible tells us walk with God. And so that's the first blank. Enoch was one of two who walked with God. Now, I want to talk about that just a little bit, but let's finish this sentence out, number two there. The other is found in Genesis 6:9. You know who that was? Or do you have to look? Noah. Genesis chapter 6 is all about Noah. And so in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9, God says this about Noah. He says in verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." What does it mean to walk with God? That's what I want to consider here just for a few moments. Because if God only mentions two men, specifically saying they walk with God, there must be something pretty significant about that statement of walking with God. And so we find a few things about walking with God. Well, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Let's get through with this capital letter A. Number two, Enoch was one of two who pleased God, who pleased God. And that's obvious from what it tells us here in this passage of Scripture when in verse number 24, the Bible says, "Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And so pretty obvious that God was pleased with his lifestyle and the decisions he made. Enoch also, number three, was one of two who never experienced death. Who is the other that never experienced death? You should know this one, Elijah. Elijah. How did Elijah get to heaven? A lot of people get this one wrong. There's a song that gets it wrong. Wasn't the chariot, was it? The chariot's purpose was to keep Elisha from going to heaven with Elijah. But it was the whirlwind that took Elijah. And if you've ever seen a tornado, they usually have a pretty big path. And so Elijah had to be separated from Elisha, and that was the purpose of the chariots. But Elijah was the other. You read about that in 2 Kings chapter 2. We need not turn there. Now, who is the other one that pleased God? It said of him two different occasions. I only listed one there, at his baptism. Is that enough of a clue for you to figure it out? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was the other one. So that's a pretty good company that Enoch is associated with there. Of only two in the whole Bible who God specifically says they walked with me. One of only two who God says specifically that he pleased me. And one of only two who never experienced physical death. That's some pretty elite company. But you know how the devil is. He likes to put his substitutes. Anywhere you look, there are substitutes. And so if you follow the genealogy of Cain, the murderer who killed Abel, he had a son in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 17, by the name of Enoch. And so the devil always tries to duplicate what God intends for good. And we just need to be careful and need to follow the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of churches out there where the people are sincere and they talk about Jesus and they use something that resembles the Bible, and oftentimes it's nothing more than a counterfeit. Nothing more than a counterfeit. It's all about something else. And so we need to be careful. Did you know Jimmy Baker's still out there peddling things? I'm trying to remember what it was. When I was talking to my friend this week, he said that he had saw Jamie Baker peddling pans, frying pans. And, you know, I'm thinking I probably shouldn't have said this to him, but I said, yeah, he may need a frying pan where he's going. But I don't know if the man saved or lost, to be honest with you. Never asked him about it, but he sure doesn't act like it, does he? To him, it's all about the cash, all about the cash. But anyway, counterfeits that... people are deceived. And so, you know, the Bible talks about Satan posing as a minister of light. No wonder his angels, Satan's angels appear the same. There's a lot of them out there. We need to be careful. But let's talk about walking with God. That's where I want to spend my time. What does God, if he points this out about only two men, what is it to walk with God? Well, five things about walking with God. First of all, it implies agreement. Implies agreement. Amos chapter 3, verse number 3. If you go to the minor prophets, the first one is what? Because you've got Isaiah in the prophetical books in the Old Testament. You've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The first minor prophet then is Hosea. What's the next one? Joel. Then what's the third one? Amos, and then Obadiah. All right? Chapter 3, verse number 3 of Amos. God tells us here, just a simple observation, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? And so to walk with God implies agreement with God. Now, how do we know if we're in agreement with God? Well, we just take his word. The Bible tells us what God thinks about everything. If we allow any allowance for evolution, we're not in agreement with God. If we think it's okay that a man can be a woman or a woman can be a man, and that the doctors make a mistake, they label a gender at birth, but that doctor could be wrong, well, we're not in agreement with God. God created two, Adam and Eve. And if we think that the life inside a pregnant woman is just a tumor, then we're not in agreement with God. And we can go right on down the line. This book tells us how we can be in agreement with God. You know, those are the main ones. We all agree with that with each other. But what about some of the ones that are a little more controversial? What about the kind of music we listen to? Look at what kind of instruments did they use in the temple when they had the temple musicians? What did they play? Okay, trumpets, cymbals, harps, flutes, stuff like that. Can you get rock music out of those instruments? And I've heard trumpets used in it before, very rarely, but a few songs had it. But I don't think you can get it with those instruments. Because God is trying to give us a message if we just open our eyes. Are we in agreement with God? What you listen to is important because it will affect your spiritual life. It affects your walk with God. Are you walking with God? Or are you like the little kid that you're trying, the toddler, you're trying to walk through a busy store that's pulling away? Too often we're like the little kid trying to pull away. What about tithing? Boy, there's a four-letter word for you, isn't it? I know most of you folks here don't have any issue with that. Just a very faithful church in our finances, but so many Christians. And you talk about tithing, you're going to lose somebody. And yet, if we look in the Word of God, guess what? We find tithing. And too many Christians say, I can't afford to tithe. Yes, you can. We just get ourselves so in debt. You know who invented that? I think the devil invented debt, because that keeps Christians from doing what they should do. And sometimes we've got to go in debt. I mean, maybe you've been blessed enough where you didn't have to borrow money to buy a house. We all got to have a house to live in. And so we don't need to take on a ridiculous amount of debt. And that's the devil's philosophy. Are we in agreement with God there? Tithing and giving of offerings. What about sharing our faith, being a witness? What does it say in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8? It says, "You shall be witnesses after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And so, what kind of a witness are you? A good or a bad? You see, there's another one where Christians aren't usually in agreement with God. These are the more controversial issues, but we're talking about walking with God. Enoch walked with God. And we're going to see in a little while that I believe Enoch was concerned about the souls of his fellow man and that he did what he could. I think it's going to bear out here in just a little while. But if we're going to walk with God, we've got to have all our ducks in a row. We really do. We can't walk with God just because we sincerely want to. There has to be a doing as well as a wanting. Okay? Well, let's move on here and think about this same thought about being in agreement. By God's standards, Enoch was never alone. Now, if you walk with God, what do all your worldly friends do? They walk somewhere else. That's just the way it is. Because how can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm so glad when I got saved, I lost all my friends. Now, that sounds terrible to say, but it's the truth. When I got saved, I lost all my friends, every last one of them. I remember saying to my best friends in the store about a month after I got saved, and I was kind of curious how they were doing. And they didn't want anything to do with me. They said hello and asked if I'd go out and party with them. I said no. And I probably invited them to church. Don't remember exact conversation now, and that was about it. They were gone. I'm glad I lost all my friends. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Walking with the Lord can be a lonely walk. It can be a solitary walk. We're not going to have popularity. We're not going to have the acclaim of the world. And we shouldn't strive after it. We really shouldn't. So many churches are trying to do that now. And instead of following God, I just saw this statement made. I don't remember the statement exactly. About if we're... how so many churches are following the world instead of following God now. Just by trying to be a friend of the world. And it's a terrible thing when they do that. And they lose the power of God and they lose their effectiveness. And so it can be a lonely walk, but at least by the world standards, but by God's standards, we're never alone. What did God promise us in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20? Lo, I am with you alway. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The Bible tells us that. And so we're never on our own. We're never alone. We always have the Savior with us as we walk with Him. But you know what the other alternative is? Because, you know, I'd like to have a whole boatload of friends. And I do in churches here and there, just like you do. But wouldn't it be nice to be popular? But it's not worth sacrificing God walking with me. Because if I'm walking with the world, then God isn't going to walk with me like He desires or like I desire from Him. And so, by God's standards, Enoch was never alone. While walking with God, Enoch touched lives. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, 5. Enoch touched lives. Now, I said a little while ago that I believe that Enoch was concerned about the souls of his neighbors and those he worked with and those he came across. And I think this verse bears it out. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Now, don't read that phrase too quickly. Was not found. Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. I noticed that as well. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Can you imagine Mrs. Enoch filing a missing persons report? Yeah, he went out for a walk with God, and he never came back. I don't know where he went. I don't know if someone kidnapped him. I don't know if some harm came to him. I don't know if someone, I don't know what happened. And the officer just scratched and said, so he walked out, he was walking with God, huh? Well, that doesn't happen very often. But when it says in Hebrews 11, 5, was not found, what does that tell us? Someone was looking for him. That tells me he touched some lives. If they may not have liked him, but they knew he liked them. He knew they knew he loved them, and that he was concerned, generally concerned for their souls. And so that tells me right there that he touched some lives. And the fact that he had a testimony that he pleased God, they knew what he stood for. This tells us that Enoch was a man with a backbone. He wasn't a mamby-pamby, panty-waist fella. He was a guy who had some courage and some strength. He was a man's man. He wasn't going to back down for the world in any area. That's what it takes to walk with God, to have some courage and to have some backbone. And I hate to say it this way, but I don't know any better way to say it. He didn't care what the world thought. He only cared what God thought. He only cared about the truth. And he wasn't going to compromise with any deception or with any lie. And that's the way we need to be if we want to walk with God. He walked with God. It was a solitary walk as far as the world was concerned. There wasn't anyone who wanted to hang out with Enoch. Can you imagine being a worldling and only concerned about the things of the world? And maybe you were saved young. You don't really understand what that means. But decide to hang out with Enoch. Yeah, I kind of like that guy. He has some standards, and he always treats me nicely, and he's always very polite, and he's so giving. I think I'll go hang out with him today. And so you go hang out with Enoch, and he says, hey, you know what I'm doing today? You can come with me. We're going to go knock on some doors and see if some people want to go to heaven today. Can you imagine how uncomfortable that would be for a worldling? It'd be a terrible day. They wouldn't want to spend any time with him, but they knew this man was for real. It's a solitary walk by man's standards, but not by God's. If you're walking with God, you're going to have to give up a lot of friends and a lot of popularity. And that's just the way it is, because they will not agree with us. How can two walk together except they be agreed? It's the Word of God. That's why church attendance is so important, because I trust we're all walking the same way, sincerely walking with God and desiring to walk with God. and we encourage each other and we help each other, and this is where our best friends ought to be. Or a friend in another church, a good church that teaches and preaches the Word of God and has standards. Too many churches today, I noticed in the Right in Box letter, when they were talking about the town that borders Orange, I don't remember the name of it now, there aren't any good churches. Define that. There's a lot of churches that aren't good that might proclaim the gospel, but the worldly, have the rock band on the platform, have 40 minutes of music, 5 minutes of message, and it's nothing more than a talk. Their idea of winning people to Christ is just simply becoming friends. That's their idea, that's their concept. They long ago gave it up, dropped their missions support. A lot of churches out there like that. We're not agreed. We're agreed with each other and other churches that are like ours. And we're out there. We just don't always see them. All right, well, let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. We'll pick Enoch up, Lord willing, next time. Father, we're grateful for your blessing to us. Now, as we each go our separate way, we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.